Turning back to the chapter that we previously read from, 1 Kings and the chapter 18, please. First Kings chapter 18 and the verse 41 we will use as our text, where we read, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." In the name of God's word open, let's just bow momentarily in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee sincerely today for the privilege and the blessing that is ours to be gathered together in the house of God to listen to thy word. We praise thee for thy truth. We rejoice, Lord, in thy word as one that findeth and obtaineth great spoil. We pray that it will please thee to prepare each of our hearts now to receive thy word. Speak to my heart afresh. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant today by the power of thy spirit that thou wilt so exercise our hearts that today that by faith we will claim the promises of God, that we will lay hold upon thy word. And Lord, grant us this very day the eyes to behold, the faith to hear, the sound of abundance of rain. O God, come, work in our hearts, speak to our souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Situated in northwestern Israel, Mount Carmel was, or should I say is, an area of outstanding natural beauty. It's also a very fertile region. The name Carmel means God's vineyard or God's orchard. It has a mountain range that extends some 24 miles long and is 5 miles wide. Mount Carmel, a vast mountain range overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. Being such a high mountain range, having a prominent position with steep edges, sadly it also became a centre and a place for false worship and idolatry. The high places where sacrifices were offered to false gods. The highland expanse of Mount Carmel was the setting for two major events that we read about in 1 Kings chapter 18. The defeat of the prophets of Baal and also the end of the prolonged drought. It was during a time of national declension that we were introduced to God's servant Elijah. Wicked King Ahab was upon the throne of Israel, taking Jezebel to be his wife. It was a most heinous, ungodly reign. The Lord, at that time, raised up his servant Elijah to stand for him at a very crucial time. Isn't it wonderful to know that when it's dark and when it's hard and when there's such opposition, that at those times God raises up servants. God raises up his people to stand for him. And so he raised up Elijah. And we find here that boldly Elijah told Ahab about what was going to take place. God was going to send the drought. We read about that. 1 Kings chapter 17 in the verse 1 where we read, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." In other words, he said, "Ahab, thus saith the Lord, there's going to be no rain." And the Lord here gave his servant that commission, that task to deliver the message and to stand for him. It was going to last for a number of years. The Lord used Elijah, didn't he, in a very tremendous way, in a mighty way. However, we are reminded in Scripture that Elijah was a man with the same nature that we have. James 5:17, where we read, tells us Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. What a mighty man. What a tremendous servant of God. But Elias was a man with his fears, with his faults, a man with his disappointments, a man just like you and I are men and women. He, of course, was greatly used of God, and yet we read how he was filled with fear and fled for his life. He fled from Jezebel after she sought to slay him. The next chapter actually records how he sat down under the juniper tree and he wished that he were dead. He was so overwhelmed with fear that he wanted to die. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. What a great encouragement as we read today, as we think upon Elijah, to think that God is able to use each and every one of us if we will submit ourselves to him. You might say, well, I have very little to offer the Lord. Well, that's the sort of person the Lord's looking for. He's looking for our availability, not ability. He's looking for us to be willing to yield ourselves to him, to say, Lord, here I am, poor and needy, but Lord, take me and use me. Elijah was a man certainly led by the Spirit. We read how the Lord told him to hide himself by the brook Cherith, and then he was to go and show himself to Ahab some 3 years later. It's the fulfillment of this second promise. Go send thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. This second great promise, that the great event of chapter 18 takes place. And I want us to focus our attention this morning upon these words in verse 41, where we read, there is a sound of abundance of rain. The sound of abundance of rain. Notice that Elijah perceived the sound of abundance of rain. Now in the New Testament, Luke's gospel records that the drought plagued Israel for 3.5 years. Luke 4:25 tells us that. The drought was undoubtedly brought about because of God's displeasure for Israel's sins. Time after time, the Lord had warned his people. He had spoken very clearly about the matter. When you follow me and honor me, I will bless you. But if you disobey me and rebel and go your own way, you're going to bear the consequences. There are results for our disobedience. If we do not walk in the ways and the statutes of God, we're going to pay the price. And the Lord spoke very clearly to his people regarding the holding of the rain. Turn with me to Deuteronomy and the chapter 11. Because in Deuteronomy 11, we have some very clear words about this promise. Verse 16 and 17, it's a warning, a very stark warning to the Lord's people. Deuteronomy 11, verse 16, where the Lord said, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. If you're going to disobey me, go your own way, do your own thing, that I'm going to withhold provision. There's not going to be any harvest. There's going to be no food. You're going to feel the price. Now, it was on the basis of the Lord's people turning away from their sin, turning away from their pride, turning back to God there at Carmel, that Elijah knew with confidence that the rain was coming. It wasn't just the rain. Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain. He perceived, he understood, by faith he recognized, great blessing is coming. It's on its way. I can hear it. Why was it that Elijah was able to perceive the sound of abundance of rain? There are a number of reasons. He based his confidence on the word of God. His faith, of course, was resting upon the promises of God. That the Lord had spoken already in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me read the verse to you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee of his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. So the Lord had promised to bless his people. If you'll honor me and follow me, then I'm going to send the rain. There's going to be a harvest. And so on the basis of God's word, Elijah with confidence perceives the sound of abundance of rain. You see, faith has a resting place. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It's not a blank check just to name it and claim it. No, it's based upon the word of God. Not Mount Carmel, the people repented. They turned away from their sin, turned back to the Lord, at least for a time, very brief time. And Elijah perceived the Lord was going to send the rain. So his confidence was based in the word of God, but also in the will of God. The Lord had said he was going to send the rain. God had promised this. This was the sovereign purpose and will of God. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and the verse 1 here. Came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Why was it that Elijah was able to perceive the sign? Because God had said it. It's coming, Elijah. I'm going to send it. Show yourself to Ahab and tell him this. The will of God. Maybe you're, and we all ought to be, should I say, seeking God's will for our lives. There are certain things that the Lord has revealed to us already in his word. Matters that we, in that sense, don't need to pray about. You know, when it comes to the reading of the word of God, coming to church, being joined together with other believers, they're not matters, should I go or should I read or should I pray? They're matters that God has already spoken to us about. The revealed will of God, but there are things that God has concealed. And we need to seek the will of God for our lives. We need to submit ourselves to it, don't we? But we need to stay focused on the will of God. We need to stay on track with the Lord and the things of God. God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. The question is, are we focused on fulfilling that will, his will, for each of our individual lives? Maybe we've become distracted, sidetracked upon other things, even legitimate things. But nothing is more important than walking in the will of God and living for the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Elijah's confidence was that a great downpour was coming, was also based not only in the word of God, the will of God, but on the work of God. He had already experienced the power of God in his life. And therefore, he could look to past blessings. God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had not and would not change. It was the same God he was serving. He was fed by the ravens, wasn't he, at the brook Cherith? He had experienced the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, not running empty. The Lord miraculously raising up the widow woman's son from the dead. How the Lord had answered by fire at Carmel. Can I say, before the rain came, before the floods of blessing were poured, the fire had to fall. Sin had to be judged. We approach the Lord today on the grounds of the finished work of Christ on the cross. At Calvary, where the fire of God fell upon our blessed Savior. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Fire here speaks of judgment. Rain is a picture of grace. It's a beautiful verse in Acts chapter 3 and the verse 26 where we read, Unto you first, and here Peter was speaking to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, to the nation. And he says, Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. You see, here is how God blesses each one of us. It is through the person of Christ alone. 1 Kings chapter 18, in the verse 41 here, we read how that Elijah told Ahab to get up and drink. And so he did. Ahab, there's going to be a great downpour. You need to flee now. Eat and drink. And he did. Do you know what's really staggering here? It's not surprising. It's not surprising when we consider Ahab's heart and his opposition to the Lord, but it's staggering when we think that he had witnessed what God was able to do and what God had done, and yet he remained unmoved. He remained untroubled, despite seeing God work in a marvelous way. He was still unmoved. Is that true of someone here this morning? Someone listening? You've witnessed the grace of God, the power of God and salvation in the life of some other person, perhaps someone near or dear to you, someone you know and love. You've seen the transforming grace of God in their life. You'd have to stand back and testify, well, only the Lord could have done that. You've seen what God has done in a church and in a community, and yet you remain unmoved. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that is. Oh, I pray today, if you don't know the Lord, that you'll not remain in opposition like Ahab did against the Lord, but today you might surrender your life to the Lord. Elijah perceived the sound of abundance of rain, but Elijah prepared to seek for abundance of rain. Notice what it says here in 1 Kings chapter 18 and the verse 42. There we read, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. You see, after the great victory at Mount Carmel, there was still much more for Elijah to do. Oh, we thank the Lord, don't we? And I mean this sincerely. We thank the Lord for every victory given, every victory of the cross, every life transformed, every time we see God move in power. We rejoice in that. But we can't live in past blessings. We need God to come afresh and to move again. Elijah didn't just sit back and think, well, now the fire has fallen, God surely will send the rain. The prophet here, he wasn't passive in his actions and his attitude. No, he was someone actively involved in serving the Lord. We find that he went up to the top of Carmel. Carmel, to that solitary place. He went up. He went up. Are you and I going up further, higher, with God in our Christian experience in our life, in our time with the Lord, in our life walking with the Lord? Think of that time whenever God called Abraham and he said, Abraham, you say you love me, now prove it. Take your son Isaac, offer him there as a burnt sacrifice upon Moriah. We find there that Abraham took his young son Isaac and he turned to his servants and he said, abide ye here with the lass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again unto you. Abraham said, just stop and wait. I'm going up. Worship. Can I say that there is that need for us all of us, to say to the world, to the things of the world, stop. You wait. I'm going to worship. I'm going to meet with God. Here we find that Elijah went to that solitary place to commune with the Lord, to seek the Lord. Notice what it says here in verse 42, it tells us that he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. You know what that speaks of? Humility. It speaks of the very fact that he gets there on his face before God. Can I say that if we're going to experience anything of the blessing of God, the outpouring of the Spirit, we must humble ourselves before the Lord. Get on our faces before God and cry to him for mercy. Coming and doing that, we're just confessing, Lord, we haven't got what it needs. Of ourselves, we can't meet the need. We're casting ourselves upon thy mercy. Elijah perceived the sound of abundance of rain. He prepared to seek for abundance of rain, but he prayed specifically for abundance of rain. Tells us that in the book of James, and the chapter 5, verse 17. I'm not going to turn to it, but it tells us there in James chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 18. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. He prayed for the rain to come. He prayed for the blessing to fall. Can I say that all the promises of God have been given to us to inspire us, to encourage us to pray? Elijah prayed effectually. In fact, maybe we will just actually turn to that there portion, James chapter 5. We read there, verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He prayed effectually. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean? He means he prayed in the will of God. His prayer came from a heart that was consecrated and submitted and surrendered to the Lord. And the Lord would say to us, and he would say to you, my son, give me thine heart. The greatest thing that you and I can give the Lord is our heart. Our heart in devotion and love and worship for him. He prayed effectually. He prayed earnestly. Verse 17 reminds us that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Matthew Henry said, Elijah prayed that it might not rain. And God heard him in his pleading against an idolatrous, persecuting country, so that it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain. Thus you see, prayer is the key which opens and shuts heaven. What a tremendous quotation. Prayer is the key which opens and shuts heaven. He asked the Lord for specific things. Now, it's good to be general in prayer, but it's even better when we are very specific. So, to give you an example, we pray for the situation in Ukraine, and we pray for God's will there to be wrought, and we pray that the Lord will protect, in particular, his people, the church, the Lord will save. But then we pray for specific people, specific needs. And here Elijah, he prayed specifically. He prayed for rain to be given, but he also prayed expectantly. He prayed with faith, tremendous confidence. Now, he wasn't just praying for the physical rain to fall. He was praying for spiritual rain. He was praying for the blessing of God upon his people. Elijah prayed specifically for abundance of rain, but he also prioritized his servant to look for abundance of rain. Turn with me back to 1 Kings in the chapter 18, please. 1 Kings 18, verse 43. Here's Elijah, the solitary place, his head between his knees. Verse 43, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Here we see the mission given to this anonymous servant. Go up now, look toward the sea. Notice that he was to go immediately. There was a sense of urgency. I need to go right now. We find that in obedience, the servant went and looked. In other words, he did exactly what was being asked of him and required of him. Of course, a challenge comes to our hearts today. Are you and I fulfilling, are we doing what the Lord has asked us to do? Are we swift to carry out his bidding? Are we quick to fulfill the Lord's will in our lives? We find here that the servant headed off. Now I want you to understand that we could read these verses and we could really fail to grasp the sense of energy that was required and that was expended in that task. We find here that in verse 43 we read that he went up and looked, said there is nothing, and he said, go again seven times. But each of those times, you think of that servant, the energy that he used, that he expended in going up to the top of the mountain, going and looking. I don't know about you, but when you go up even a mountain like Donard, to use a good old Ulster term, I'm punctured when I go up the mountain. But can I imagine going up and down and up and down and going up again and going up again? And you think of the effort required. He looks out there toward the Mediterranean Sea. There's no sign of the evidence is coming. He brings back the report to Elijah the first time, and he comes back and he said, there's nothing. Now, if you notice here in verse 43, the words there is are italicized. They're in italics. In other words, they're not in the original. So he comes back to Elijah, and this is what he says. Nothing. Go again. He goes up, comes back. Elijah, nothing. Nothing. I don't know about you. I can identify with these words, with this word in particular. Isn't this how you feel at times? You're working, you're laboring, you're toiling, you're expending energy, you're doing what you can. Nothing. We need to trust God's promises. Even when it appears that there is nothing happening, because there in the background the hand of God is at work. God's plans and purposes will and must be fulfilled. Maybe you'd say, I've been laboring with the children and it just seems as if there's very little fruit. With the youth. In the family, we're praying for years, singling out individuals, and it seems as if there's nothing happening, nothing's taking place. Elijah prioritized his servant to look for abundance of rain. Go and look again. Go up again, go again. Elijah persevered sincerely for abundance of rain. Notice what it says here in verse 43. When he came back and he said nothing, and he said, go again seven times. Now there were two things that Elijah here could have done upon hearing that report from his servant. He could have been quiet, accepted defeat, given up. Or he could have kept persevering, keep going, and he did. He said to his servant, go again seven times. Seven times. There are times whenever you and I face disappointments, difficulties, delays in the work of God, where we feel that and we sense that very little progress has been made, and sometimes I'm sure you can identify with a sentiment here that it's one step forward and it's two steps back. It's as if very little has been achieved. The disciples, in Luke chapter 5, were told had been toiling all night, caught nothing, taken nothing. But they were on the cusp of an experiencing an amazing catch of fish. Launch out into the deep. They were to go again to let down their nets. Such was a draft of fish that their net broke because of the weight of the fish. Go again. Of course, the number seven is significant. Seven speaks of perfection. You see, in God's perfect time, the answer will come. We're to keep going. We're to keep persevering because in the will of God and his perfect time, the Lord will and the Lord does give the answer. Elijah and his servant here, when they were on the edge of seeing something absolutely amazing take place. Having time to look at the number 7 in Scripture, I have it down in my notes here, but we're not going to be doing that, but just going to move on. Elijah proclaimed the sending of abundance of rain. Notice what it says here in verse 45 and verse 44, should I say in verse 45? Came to pass, verse 44, at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, and that the rain stop thee not. Came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The seventh time the servant returned and said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Now, I know that oftentimes, whenever we're thinking about this portion, oftentimes we'll actually ourselves use the expression, I know that I certainly have done that, that Elijah's servant, he went up and he saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. But it doesn't say that. It said the cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now there is certainly the significance of the size. It was a little cloud, little in size, yet of great significance. It was the beginning of something remarkable. We are not to despise the day of small things. We thank and we praise the Lord for every single blessing. The little things are important in Scripture. And there's a great study in Scripture on the little things. We might say, well, little has taken place. But we can be greatly encouraged that progress has been made. That's how progress is made in the work of God. The size of the cloud, but also the shape of the cloud. The servant said it was like a man's hand. I personally believe that the cloud here was like a man's hand in its shape. And there was a servant went up and he looked. He seen this cloud coming, this small cloud, but it was the shape of a hand. And there it was coming on the horizon. The hand, of course, speaking about the saving hand of God, the safe hands of the Lord, the strong, sovereign hand of God, the supplying hand of God. Here was his hand coming. What confidence Elijah possessed. The news of a cloud like a man's hand was enough to send a powerful message to Ahab. Boldly he proclaimed that God had sent the abundance of rain before it actually happened. Now that's faith. He said, I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. The answer's coming. I can hear it. By the ear of faith. By the ear of faith. I suppose the challenge to our own hearts today is, do we hear the sound of abundance of rain? Are we looking? Are we searching for the cloud of blessing? Are we willing to get on our faces before God and cry to the Lord to have mercy, to send forth his light and his salvation, to send the showers of blessing? It says in the verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. As we close today, I trust the Lord will challenge our hearts afresh. Will give to us that desire, that hunger for his blessing. Lord, do it again. We thank the Lord for the many tokens for good, evidences of his grace. We thank the Lord for every little, when I say little blessing, every blessing is large, but every little encouragement that we receive. But oh, to be on the cusp and on the brink of something we can only just dream about. We don't want to live and die without seeing revival. We want to experience it for one purpose alone, for God's eternal glory. Lord, do it again. Give to us the ear of faith. The answer's on its way. There's a sign of abundance of rain. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's just bow together in prayer. Thank you so much for your time, for listening. Pray that the Lord will continue to encourage us, help us. Don't be like Ahab if you're not saved. Don't be like Ahab and hear about what God's doing and reject him, but seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray today that we might know thy hand of rich blessing upon our lives. We long for God to work. We long for thee to come. Lord, give to us the perseverance, the stickability. Go again, and in thy perfect time will. Oh, to see the showers of blessing. Lord, to see our communities turned upside down by the power of God. To see righteousness prevail. Father, we pray, come and visit us afresh. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us throughout the remainder of this our day. And Lord, to thee we give the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.